Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Oh, that's right. Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg tonight. He has the day off. Michael, how are you?
I'm great.
And Don, how are you?
Eh.
Oh. Well, I want to address that because I've seen some of the reaction on social media following today's last one standing. And people are saying that we may have unfairly handed Michael the win by giving him the steal, that Don actually said Luis Castillo before Michael technically stole it. So if that is how everyone feels, I'll just ask Michael the question to kind of make it official, if that will make people more comfortable.
I think that's important. Have closure.
You really do? First of all, he blurted out the answer for no reason. I knew it anyway. There's no way I don't know that. So I'm going to be penalized and have to answer another question because he blurted out the answer after he gave the wrong one? Okay, I'll play along. What a bunch of frauds.
You should get this, Michael. So hopefully this is just like a formality. But I'm going to ask you the question, and hopefully we can put this whole chapter to bed after this. But here's your question, Michael. After hitting a walk-off home run in Game 3 of the 1999 World Series, this player refused to conduct a post-game interview with Jim Gray. All right, there we go. Yep. All right, it's behind us. I feel better now.
I feel
better, Don?
No, but I feel better for the people that wanted that closure.
Because everybody is a Don fan and everybody hates Michael, so let's make Michael the bad guy when Don had a bad day.
You know, along those lines, there was another thing that I was seeing on Twitter that I wanted to address, Michael. Your list today was tremendous. I loved it. I love just rethinking about those games. But your inability to stick the landing was so bad it almost ruined the whole list.
What do you mean stick the landing?
1 through 4 were great. Not necessarily, maybe not the order I would have gone with, but I was fine with them. But your number 5 was so the classic example of being too smart for your own good and overthinking it. To choose that over the games that we had mentioned already, Game 6 between the Cardinals and Rangers, I think, is one of the greatest games in baseball history. Because not just the David Freese triple with 2 outs in the 9th and then his walk-off, but you also had in between that, in the 10th inning, the Cardinals were down by 2 runs again with 2 outs, and they came back to retie it, setting up Freese's walk-off in the 11th. Like, that game was out of control. Then, I mean, I hate to say it, but I would have also put in the Blue Jays-Phillies Joe Carter walk-off game. Because
you're a Phillies fan, so that was...
Well, they lost!
It was one of the worst... something to you.
It was one of the worst moments in Philly sports history.
You tell me that performance in that, 16-17 inning game wasn't extraordinary in a World Series?
But it was Game 3 in a series that they wound up winning in 5. Like
Game 3 of the Red Sox and the Astros was an unbelievable choice. Astros and the Dodgers. It was like 13-12.
I would have even included
that was under consideration.
I would have even included Game 6 of the 2002 World Series when the Angels were about to lose. They were down 5-0 in the 7th. They scored 3 in the 7th, 3 in the 8th to come back and win 6-5, and then they ended up winning in Game 7. I would have included that over one you picked for number 5.
If I had to do it all over again, I'd have the exact same list. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm so sure of it. I don't even waver.
Stubborn. And that Game 7 of the Giants-Royals wasn't just a mad bum game. It was, you know, holding the runner up at third.
Great
game. That
was
a big moment.
Who are you taking out?
You're number 5.
I think Andrew made it clear number 5.
You don't think number 5 was an unbelievable game? Did you stay up the whole time till 4 in the morning? I did.
It was an unbelievable game, but it's not one of the top 5 World Series games in the last 40 years. It's just not. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I disagree with you. And I'm the arbiter of these lists, at least until further notice.
Fair enough. All right. So we start ENN tonight. Obviously, there's still so much happening in the country pertaining to the death of George Floyd. There's a curfew in effect in New York City tonight. Again, this one going from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. Some news on George Floyd's funeral. Floyd Mayweather had offered to pay for George Floyd's funeral. A Mayweather representative said the former five-division world champion has been in touch with Floyd's family, with George Floyd's family, and that the group has accepted the offer. Quote, he'll probably get mad at me for saying that, but yes, he is definitely paying for the funeral, Leonard Ellerbe, the CEO of Mayweather Promotions, told ESPN's Steve Kim. So a nice gesture from Floyd Mayweather.
I love it. I think it's great. But, you know, he's saying he would probably be mad at me for telling people. Then don't tell him.
Then there's this story involving Houston's Alex Bregman. He tweeted on Monday that the Ku Klux Klan should be considered a terrorist organization. He was then met with a tweet that said, quote, stick to sports before you lose 75% of your fans. And then Bregman responded with, if hating the KKK loses me fans, then I hope I lose them. I mean, the setup there to that, to Bregman's final tweet, it was almost like such a perfect setup. I almost wondered if it was from like a Bregman burner account. But that's beside the point. He's trying to spread a message of tolerance. So I guess you have to say good for him to be willing to put himself out there.
Absolutely good for him. Can you imagine that in this country there are people that defend the KKK? Can you imagine that? So I love that he said that.
Yeah. And then one other one here for
right
you.
Right now,
Anthony,
in Houston, by the way, there's a peaceful protest of 60,000 people.
Wow.
In Houston right now.
Man. And then one more here. Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Chargers, he spoke to the LA Times about the need to do more than just making statements. He said, you can't just stand on the sidelines and just watch. You got to say something. The thing that bothered me the most about the George Floyd murder was the three officers that said nothing. The guy who did it, yeah, he's a bleep. But the three who stood by and did absolutely nothing, I'm just stunned by that. I see that going on in every organization. I see good people saying nothing and doing nothing, allowing this to happen.
And what adds to the frustration, not that these things wouldn't be happening anyway, but to hear, well, those other three are still under investigation. How long does it take to conduct an investigation when the whole world is paying attention? You interview the three guys. Why did you stay silent? There's video of it. I mean, how long does it take? You know, the officer that fired the shot in Louisville was fired immediately, right? You've heard Mayor de Blasio talk about that already officers were reprimanded for some of the things that they did during the riots over the last couple of days. Why is it taking so long? I understand that there's a process that you have to go through as far as convicting is concerned, but I would think that with so much pressure, guys, on this, what's taking so long to investigate? Exactly why they just stood there and watched for nearly 9 minutes and watched a guy suffocate to death?
You know, it's interesting, too. I get a lot of grief on the show for being a narcomaniac, but maybe if more people were narcomaniacs and called out people that were bad and became, quote-unquote, snitches, you know, maybe we'd be able to weed out some of the bad people in the world. Instead, people are afraid to, like, turn other people in. They don't want to be snitches that wear stitches. So I'm fine with being a narcomaniac if somebody is doing something wrong. So if you see somebody doing something wrong, report it. If you see somebody's a bad person in a position that really can't have a bad person, report it.
Well, there's one other element of this that I find very interesting here, and that is, so Anthony Lynn, who we're talking about, he took part in a protest march in Huntington Beach, and he said he was disheartened at the end of it when he spoke to one of the protest leaders and felt that there was a real lack of a long-term strategy. And I kind of wonder if that's how a lot of people are feeling right now. We're in this moment where everyone feels so motivated as I can ever remember in my lifetime personally to act and to bring about change. And I feel like now, you know, what is the next step? Like, everybody's attention is now fixed on this. So what can be done next? And I think that's kind of the question that Anthony Lynn is asking and waiting for an answer.
And I'm not sure people have the answer. People don't know. I mean, this is something that's been systemic in our country for as long as we could remember. So, I mean, what is the next step? What stops this? You can't punish racism out of people. You can't legislate racism out of people. So what the best you could do is make them shrink back into the shadows, but they're still there. So what are you going to do? I don't understand it. I mean, there has to be something that's different from the time somebody's born. Like, I don't think people are born to hate other people. I think it's a learned ability.
You know, I started the show with this, Michael, about it has to be a daily thing, right? You have to, it's not going to end overnight. There isn't, I thought I thought the Killer Mike speech might have finally concluded things. The Atlanta mayor saying something. The fact that George Floyd's brother came to New York. There's been everybody's waiting for that one moment where, like in the movies, like just before the credit rolls, there's that one speech, that one moment where everything comes to an end and everybody sings Kumbaya and marches back. That's not going to happen here. And I think that's where the frustration of the protest, it's like they don't want to end the protest and then everything just goes back to normal and then we kind of forgot what we were doing. So that's why that motivation to just keep the narrative, but we're going to have to find something new, right? We can't go through this every single night, especially during the pandemic of just how much these cities have been going through to begin with. But I can understand the frustration of, right, how are we going to do it every day? How are we going to invoke change every single day? Because that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, Michael, there's peaceful protests happening in Houston right now. There's more expected all around the country. So please, 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 everybody, just please stay safe. Guys, changing gears here. 10 years ago today. Now, RJ has the audio of this, but before he plays it, I'll give you the chance to try and guess. 10 years ago today in baseball.
Was that when Jeter was selected by the Yankees? No, 10 years. No, what am I thinking? 10 years ago. I love baseball. 2010, 10 years ago. I don't know. How about you, Don?
No, I'm drawing a blank.
RJ?
Ground ball, right side. Cabrera will cut it off. Galarraga covers. He's out. No, he's safe. He is safe. He is safe at first base. And here comes Jim Leland.
The perfect game that wasn't.
One of the worst calls in baseball history. Armando Galarraga's imperfect game. He retired the first 26 batters, appeared to have thrown it, not just appeared, he did. He got the last out on a grounder. It was a close play, but he was there. He beat the runner to first, and Jim Joyce missed the call, ruling Jason Donald safe. You remember after the game, the thing that I remember more than anything was Jim Joyce in tears being interviewed about it afterwards and owning up to the mistake. He really had no choice. Once he saw the replay, it was clear as day.
Joyce is considered one of the better umpires in baseball. Really cares. Hey, players respect him.
It happens. But that's why you want.
That's replay. Why you have replay. That play is why you have replay.
And I still keep circling back to this. There's that clause in the CBA, whatever it is. I don't know if it's a clause in the CBA where the commissioner, in the best interest of baseball, right? You do something in the best interest of baseball. I am against overturning calls like early in the game, because that's the fallacy of the predetermined outcome, right? But in a moment like that, how easy would it have been for the commissioner to just say, hey, it was the last play of the game. It's not changing anything that happened earlier. You know, it's not like changing a play from the seventh inning. You just can't assume what's going to happen after that. But it's literally the last play of the game. What would have been wrong with saying he got the call wrong, the world saw he got the call wrong, I'm giving him the perfect game?
And now he wants it changed now. And what would be the worst thing if they did that? It wouldn't be a bad thing.
No, and again, but the thing would be, well, what about the bad call in the second inning? I would have had a perfect. Yeah, because that's a second inning. Things would be different. But for this being the last play, it doesn't affect anything at all. Yeah. It was the last play.
Right, it wouldn't be like Carlos Beltran petitioning to have that hit for the Cardinals against Johan Santana in the Met no hit.
Oh, why'd you have to bring that up? And that by the way, the anniversary was yesterday.
Yep, eight years.
8 years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was at a Passionata.
Is that a horse thing?
Yes, it's like a horse show.
Yeah.
It was the last time I was at the Izod Center.
I'm guessing this was not your call either.
No.
It's another Nancy thing.
It was a Nancy, but those, it was
the
cool.
The things that she forces you to do and you just do, it's amazing. Watch the Giants, NASCAR, Passionata? Oh, my
Passionata.
Goodness.
Well, is there anything?
You know, you're allowed to say no every now and then, Don.
Well, so if you were a single man about town, Downton Abbey would be on your DVR right now.
I actually like Downton Abbey. I enjoyed it.
But you enjoyed it, but would you have watched it if not for Jody?
But I wasn't forced to watch it. She had it on, and I said, well, let me sit down and see what this is about, and I liked it.
What makes you think that I'm forced? A Friday night out with my wife, that was a Friday night. Why would I turn down a chance to be with my wife doing something that she enjoys? Then I get a chance to enjoy. Let me talk to somebody. I want to talk to somebody whose marriage isn't an arrangement.
Oh my God,
Andrew. But right, don't sometimes you do things that maybe you wouldn't do if you were single, and on the surface you wouldn't be interested in, but the fact that your wife is so interested, it makes you interested, because that's being in a happy marriage and caring about the person that you're with.
Of course, yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And you're going to just sit there, Andrew, and allow him to say that I'm in an arranged marriage? You're going to be okay with that?
I reacted. I think my oh my God had the right tone.
Have some nerve, Don. You have some nerve.
I believe in societal norms.
But you make it seem like you, Andrew, give me this at least, all right? I know it's uncomfortable, but you know what? There's worse things in the world, believe me. Is that the way he talks is if he's single.
I'm not like, single.
I know you're not single. Everybody knows you're not single, but she forced me to go. I'm my own person.
Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. There's things that we like to watch together. She sits here and watches Outlander. I want no part of it. Somebody walking through a rock going back 400 years. I think it's ridiculous, and I tell her so. But you would do it obediently even if you hated it. That's the difference. That's all.
But why do you paint it like I'm some kind of a dog and I'm just following orders? It's like, you know what? This isn't my thing. But, yeah, I can go down and watch something different, but now I'm not with my wife.
But you're not talking during it anyway.
Help me out, Andrew.
I just YouTubed a video of a passionata just to see what it actually is. It's
heinous.
This is different. This is certainly different, Don. It's hard for me just to know you. Like, it's just hard for me to watch this video and think like, yeah, I could see Don in the crowd at this.
Heinous. And he missed the only no hitter in Met history because he was at a passionata.
Well, I was following it on the phone.
Well, I don't blame Don.
But
for
then
that,
you really
though.
Weren't.
I mean,
you really weren't present, were you, Don?
Yeah,
you really weren't present. Just like you weren't at the ESPN
seven.
Thing.
It doesn't show up on the TV guide. Oh, well, you know, watch on June 1st when Johan Santana is going to pitch the first perfect game, no hitter in Mets history. It's a regular season game.
Go an entire summer without making plans.
Let's inject you with sodium pentothal. After you find out he pitched a no-hitter, are you red hot that you wasted a day at a passionata?
No.
Oh, you're such a liar.
I wasn't at the game.
Such a liar.
So it's going to be like, you want me to have the meltdown, like in Fever Pitch.
Yeah.
Went out to the Great Gatsby party, and then the Red Sox come back from like 9-0
exactly.
down in the ninth inning.
That's what I expect from you.
That would be healthy for the relationship, right?
No, I'm not
he's
saying
throwing stuff
no,
around
no.
the house. I can't believe you took me to a passionata. I just missed Johan Santana's no-hitter.
I'm not
which
saying.
Which you claim doesn't exist anyway.
It
because
doesn't.
It was a base hit in the game.
It was a base hit. But I will tell you this. I wouldn't. You shouldn't take it out on Nancy. But after she went to bed and you go down to your man cave, you should have been throwing things against the wall. You missed
Come
a once in a lifetime thing.
Give me a break.
You're never going to see another Met no hitter. You're never going to see one.
The hours that I work, how often do I get to spend time with? Yeah, now I get to spend every second waking moment with them.
Andrew, but, can you explain to everybody what a passionata is?
There's different videos, but it's like a dimly lit room, like an arena, and then on the floor of the arena I see a couple horses here, and they're kind of like moving around with a person sort of on them, and they're all kind of dancing in their own way. I don't know.
That screams, doesn't it?
I'm not one to judge. Is it true that the
tour was postponed due to lack of interest? There may be truth to that. Okay.
Oh God, really?
But
is that actually true?
Yeah,
of course it is.
So we got the tickets just in time. But the point is that you're spending time with your wife, and this is 2012. So this is coming off the Rangers going to Game 6 of the Conference Final. So I'm working basically almost all through May. All right,
and earning a living is called.
We get some downtime. We get home at 30 every night.
You weren't like a psycho fan that followed the Rangers around. You were earning a living.
Again, I'm going to turn to Andrew that worked.
You weren't
sometimes.
Ira from Staten Island going to the Jets preseason games
but that doesn't
in
mean,
L.A.
But it's very difficult sometimes, Michael, to just when you don't get a chance to see your wife because of the job that you have to do. that on a Friday night, you know what, I'm not going to go see a passionata, even though you're very passionate about it. I'm just going to sit home and watch the Met game because there's a chance that they're going to pitch a no-hitter when they never have had one in the history of the franchise. And then I agree to go, and then I smile, we grit and bear it, and then I go home and I start throwing stuff against the wall. Grin and bear it, excuse me.
By the way, RJ just texted this to me. To be fair, Don, I have heard that the 2012 was the absolute peak of the Passionata Tour.
Hey, we got in just under the wire, you know.
I can't believe you actually know that the tour was canceled because of lack of interest. Who publicized that?
Well, I'm only guessing it was due to lack of interest, that it was just, there wasn't a lot of people at the Izod Center.
Don? Have you seen the movie Good Will Hunting? I'm sure you have, right?
Yes.
This conversation is directly out of that movie. It's Robin Williams when he says he missed game six, the Carlton Fisk home run, because he had to go see about a girl. And they respect him for it. So, you know, that's kind of what I hear when you're telling the story. Well, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. And RJ hopefully is paying attention, is that there's things you do not necessarily because of what's going on, but just to be with your significant other.
And check out your phone and watch a game on your phone.
Why be
so you're not really engaged?
Let me ask you this.
Why not really engaged in it, are you?
If it's just going to be, then why? We'll just be roommates then. You know, it's like, well, you go watch what you watch, no, and
you
I'll
know
go
how
watch
I feel
what
about
I watch,
that.
And
like
I'll
when
eat
you,
what
when
I
we
eat, and you eat. Why be together?
When we were at the Super Bowl with all the bigwigs, all the executives, and you're watching a nothing hockey game on your phone, you shouldn't have gone to the dinner. That's my point. So if you're checking out the Met score when you're at a riveting fashionata, you shouldn't be there. You're not fully engaged.
I don't care. At that dinner, I didn't care. Bodenheimer,
obviously you
didn't care about his experience.
What do I care
if he's having fun? I don't care. He barely knows me.
You didn't care about Nancy having a good time either because you were checking the Met score.
You can incorporate a little peek. Come on, you got to at least give me a chance to check the score.
No, you should be all in because you didn't spend any time with her.
Compare it to some dinner with bigwigs who don't even care if I lived or died.
Oh,
I don't kiss up to anybody. If you figured that out, I'm not kissing up. I was able to get this far without doing it. If I want to sit there and watch Ilya Kovalchuk's first game as a Devil and it come at the expense of me rubbing cheeks with the executives at ESPN, guess what? Enjoy your meal without me. Mike McDonald follows me on Twitter.
I think Michael's insistence on repeatedly mispronouncing a passionata is my favorite part of this conversation.
Well, how do I pronounce it?
Well, it's a passionata. You've been saying a fashionata.
No, I've not said a passionata. I said a passion. I've never said a fashionata. Give me the clip if I said it. I'll apologize.
All right. I thought I heard it.
It makes for good radio. I don't know why you're married.
I love my
wife. You're not willing to make some sacrifices.
I make a lot
really
of sacrifices.
Sacrifice.
A lot of sacrifices. But I'm not going to go something. I'm not going to go to something that I absolutely abhor.
I don't know that I felt that way. I like horses. It's something interesting. In retrospect, it wasn't what I thought. But you try new things, Michael.
So you didn't go to the Google.
Andrew, who am I talking to? This guy hasn't tried anything.
You didn't go to the Google and find out what this was before you were dragged into it. And I'd like to get Nancy on the phone. Why would she like it?
No, but if you like horses, and I do like horses.
I love horses.
It's kind of a cool thing. It's hard that happened on the day that we went there, but, you know, it was still a kind of a cool thing. Again, it's not something I would have done as a single man, but you try things out. Sometimes there are home runs, and sometimes there's broken bat singles, and sometimes you strike out. But you try things, but you don't try anything, Michael.
Nope, I don't.
I don't know how anybody could be married to you, seriously. The things that Jody probably wants to do with her husband, it does, because, Michael's not going to like that, so Michael wouldn't stand for that. Just basically eating, you know, chicken parms all day.
Well, I mean, do I drag Jody to go see Andrew Dice Clay? No. I mean, there's people. You have things that you like that you're going to like and your significant other is not, and you don't force it on them.
But I don't believe that I was forced.
Okay. If that makes you get through this,
now does it bother me when Braveheart comes on and she leaves the room? Yeah, but that's life.
I'm not saying
that she completely 100% agrees with me on this,
but you 100% agree with her on everything. That's all I'm saying, because you're a great guy. You can the beginning of this argument was you're allowed to say no. Santana's pitching today. There's a good chance he's going to pitch the first no-hitter in Met history.
Yeah,
I'm not going to a dog and pony show.
So
I like
Seaver.
Horses.
Gooden. You know, it's finally I said, you know what? Santana's pitching. It might happen today.
Right.
a no hitter that you believe didn't really happen and that shouldn't have happened because he threw too many pitches.
Look at Anthony Perry. Anthony Perry on Twitter, would you expect anything less from Don? He's a Giant fan, works for the Jets. Devils fan, works for the Rangers. Mets fan, works with the Yankees play-by-play guy.
Well, it's a paycheck. What am I supposed to do? I never understood that.
You like it? You stirred up today, Andrew? Is that what you did this for?
Don, you're a Devil fan. How do you take the Ranger gig? Gladly.
I taught you that.
You gladly take the gig. And because, I don't want to expose anybody, but if you really think... If you're going to say to yourself that every announcer in New York rooted for that team, oh, man, could I do a segment? Could I do a segment?
Make that Tales from the Crypt.
How many announcers, Michael, because you don't have local TV in football. So you would have, whatever amount of play-by-play guys you'd have because you got nine.
You have four for Yankees and the Mets. You have four. There's plenty. There's 20.
So you think all like 25 of them happen to be Ryan Rucco, who grew up a Yankee fan, and Michael Kay grew up a Yankee fan. You think that's all that it is right across the board?
I'm gonna need some.
All
names.
Of them are fans of that team. Ha ha!
You're
Can I tell you some stories?
Tell them.
I could blow the whistle.
Oh, there's
I got
some nervous
a story
people
right
now.
Here. I got a Tales for the Crypt tomorrow that would blow the doors off the whole scene.
The whole industry.
It would just change your whole life. I got one story. It would change your life.
And that person's listening right now.
You would hear the play-by-play. Your head would explode. It would explode, Michael. It's right there. Tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow at 5:40. Six, I could blow the whistle. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, I do. He's very scared right now.
Oh, yeah. And I could tell the story.
Guy that he's talking about is so connected to the team that he broadcasts. You think, wow, he was born
like
this.
Fold your hands right now. A little exercise, unless you're in the car. Fold your hands. That's how connected he is with a team in New York. And if I told you the team he rooted for up until he took the job, blow your mind.
This is my favorite Andrew.
You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. I want to do it. Can I live with the guy hating me? That's the question. Can I live with him hating me?
Well, you've got 20 hours to think about it.
God, I want to do it.
20
really,
and a half
what has
hours.
He done for me, Michael?
Nothing. Not a thing.
Well, here, I've got one more for you while you contemplate. Guys, it's Trumaine Johnson Day for the Jets.
Oh, just say it. Howie Rose was a big Yankee fan, right, growing up? Is that what you're saying?
No. Listen, don't put me in that position. All right? Do not.
No, Howie was a huge Met fan.
Howie, big Met fan. Big Met fan.
Let's see. I'm reading here from Brian Costello. The Jets gained $11 million in salary cap space on Tuesday as a big chunk of Trumaine Johnson's contract came off the books. They designated him, Trumaine Johnson, as a post-June 1st cut when they released him in March.
Good that allows free agent them, signing.
Oh, my God. Maybe it might be their worst.
Cabrera Castillo signing of McCagnon era.
Yeah. Memorably bad. Yes. He carries a $4 million cap charge this year, $8 million charge next year. So the Jets now have roughly $25 million in salary cap space. That's according to overthecap.com. So they could, if they wanted to, I don't see Joe Douglas as being somebody who's going to do that, especially at this stage here. But if they wanted to, they could still sign another relatively big name. Jadeveon Clowney is still out there. Everson Griffin is still out there. They need pass rushing help, so there are still big-name pass rushers out there, but I don't see that as a thing that Joe Douglas would do, and I think most people would agree that it's probably not in their best interest.
It's also very interesting. A lot of people like saying the Jets should sign Clowney. That's exactly what they need. Nobody has signed this guy. So there's got to be something up. He's probably outpriced himself where people don't think he's worth nearly what he wants, or they don't think he's as good as people think. Everybody in football can't be wrong. The guy would still not be unsigned if he was great and the value was good. So don't blame Joe Douglas. Now, if Clowney calls him tomorrow and says, you know what, I'll take $10 million for 1 year, then you do it.
Yeah, but he's – well, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he would bet on himself to try and get
– well, he's already turned down $17 million from Seattle. What does he think he's going to get?
You know what, though? I don't think – if you're somebody like him, I don't think you can take a one-year deal right now because you don't know how – the NFL salary cap numbers are going to be impacted by what goes on. Their salary cap may be a lot lower in 2 years. So,
but he was saying
bet on yourself like that.
Wasn't he saying no to that even before the pandemic?
Yeah, he was. But now I would think even now his motivation for a long-term deal is probably tenfold as to what it was before the pandemic.
That's for sure.
No, certainly not. That
I like him, but how many teams do you need to be on? I mean, you're that great. How many teams do you play for? Give me a break.
What a job by you, Andrew. You really angered people. Much better than last one standing.
Why? Who's angry?
I think Don's fired up. And I ran with it. You know, you gave me the ball and I ran with it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.